The poet David White writes his own self-portrait in the form of a poem. He says, "It doesn't interest me if there is one God or many gods. I want to know if you belong or feel abandoned, if you know despair or can see it in others. I want to know if you are prepared to live in the world with its harsh need to change you. If you can look back with firm eyes saying, this is where I stand. I want to know if you know how to melt into that fierce heat of living falling toward the center of your longing. I want to know if you are willing to live day by day with the consequence of love and the bitter, unwanted passion of your sure defeat. I have heard in that fierce embrace, even the gods speak of God." Last Sunday, we talked about the new year, about letting go. We talked about magic. We reflected upon epiphanies and the blessings of finding our companions of destiny right here in this community. This morning, I'd like to share with you some reflections on pilgrimage. Pilgrimages are known for being opportunities to show devotion, to embark on a journey that will require physical and emotional sacrifices, to become vulnerable as a visitor in unfamiliar places with a landscape so unknown, and yet we open ourselves up to the kindness of strangers. Pilgrimage has been an important part of many religious traditions. The road to Santiago de Compostela in Spain, the Hajj to Mecca, the pilgrimage to the holy city of Varanasi in India. Have you ever been on a pilgrimage? Yes? Backpacking?
Little ones, day hikes.
Day hikes? Backpacking? Mary? Bicycling? Scotland, a Benedictine retreat. Yes, in Normandy, the D-Day beaches. Anyone else?
On my knees to the Basilica with my grandmother for the Virgen de
Guadalupe. Mexico City, Basilica, December 12th. Yes. India. There are all kinds of pilgrimages, aren't they? Whether it's India, Mexico City, Norway, whether it's our own backyard and our own heart. These are the journeys that bring us closer to a sense of connection to the universe, to the divine. We are in a search for a place where we can as easily commune with the stars, the wildflowers, the trees, the ocean, the people of a different country speaking a different language, making us realize the beauty of the unknown, the excitement of relying on hand signals, smiles, or the trance of an hour-long chant. Perhaps it was a journey to the Wailing Wall in Israel, or the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican, or the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. Pilgrimage is a favorite subject of mine, and I dedicated my doctoral dissertation to learning about pilgrimages. What drives people to embark on pilgrimages? What faith, what devotion motivates them and gives them courage? What do these holy places mean for them, and what kind of rituals do they engage in? And most of all, how do they create spontaneous existential communities on the road. What are the pilgrims' experience of interrelatedness with virtual strangers? What do pilgrims seek to be free of or to gain as they move through this liminal path? And how does this experience of moving among strangers and fellow pilgrims allow one to feel connected to all humanity, to the divine inside of us and in nature and in others, to realize that we have a shared human condition? Anthropologists have researched and written extensively about pilgrimage as a social process with the potential to equalize and create ideological communitas, community, to act as an anti-structure movement, bringing to light institutional practices, social locations, absence of property and wealth, equality and inequality, rank or absence of rank, a ritual always filled with the potential of internal and external transformation. But pilgrimages can also become contested spaces, arenas filled with territorial conflicts, political tension, highly structured, commercialized, and even institutionalized. In my own work studying the pilgrimage during a ritual festival in Loíza, Puerto Rico, I learned about the religious devotion to Santiago Apostle, the Apostle Santiago or St. James. The legend tells that a cimarrón, a runaway and now free slave, was walking towards the beach where he was going to fish. As he passed a cork tree, he saw something in the hollow trunk. It was a small statue of Saint Santiago mounted on a little horse. The fisherman took the image directly to the Catholic Church and handed it to the priest. It was something he connected with the Catholic faith. The priest received the statue and kept it inside the church. But the next day, the fisherman was walking to his fishing spot again when, going by the cork tree, he saw the statue again. And again, he took it to the same church and gave it to the same priest. On the third day, he found the small statue inside the cork tree again. But this time, he did something different. He changed direction. He understood something. There was a message in there. The saint did not want to live in the Catholic Church. He wanted to live with the fisherman and his wife and his children and his extended family. He wanted to eat plantains for breakfast. He wanted to be among the people of Loíza, the Afro-Caribbean people of Loíza. The saint is cared for as another member of the family, and the statue is passed on from generation to generation. People come to the house where the saint lives to pray, to ask him for favors, to decorate him with colorful ribbons and silver milagros when they experience a miracle of healing, of finding a job, of being able to keep their homes. Every year, there's a pilgrimage from the house where the saint is housed through the town back to the place of the cork tree where the miraculous apparition first occurred. This pilgrimage is no more than 3 miles. Puerto Rico is a small island. Loíza is a small town. It's not a long pilgrimage, but when you're on it, it feels like you're traversing the entire universe. The pilgrimage is filled with devotion, and in many ways, it acts as a glue to keep the community together. Puerto Rican people come from all over the island, and those living abroad bring their children from the Puerto Rican diaspora in New York, Boston, Orlando, Chicago, among other places. Until recently, academics would label this syncretism the melding of two or more cultures to produce a new one. yet something that is called ethnography of the particular, the careful study of the particularities of a certain ritual, of a certain people, of a certain individual, the personal one, the one that you get when you interview someone one-on-one, when they share their life experiences, teaches us about the importance of stories, about the value of an individual's worldview and their quest for meaning as they experience loss, sorrow, joy, constant change. Currently, the people of Loíza are struggling against gentrification in a tourism industry that has produced massive displacement and even violent evictions. Thus, to walk around their neighborhood, to participate in this pilgrimage honoring the saint is to honor their own ancestor, is to stake claim to this contested space as their ancestral home. The poet Antonio Machado writes, "Caminante, son tus huellas el camino y nada más. Caminante, no hay camino, se hace camino al andar. Al andar se hace camino y al volver la vista atrás se ve la senda que nunca se volverá a pisar. Caminante, no hay camino, sino estelas en la mar. Wanderer, pilgrim, your footsteps are the road and nothing more. Wanderer, pilgrim, there is no road. The road is made by walking. By walking, one makes the road, and upon glancing behind, one sees the path that will never be trod again. Wanderer, pilgrim, there is no road, only wakes upon the sea." When I set out to write my dissertation, I had a terrible time. My bibliographies and proposals kept getting rejected time after time after time, 27 times to be exact. Terrible. I began to understand that no matter how many times I changed the content, it was the context that was getting rejected. I did not fit in. My ideas, my worldview, my questions, and my passions were not conventional approaches. So I had to look for mentors that understood where I came from, that knew my trajectory, that knew my struggles on the road, and knew where I was at that moment. I was more interested in praxis, an emphasis on gaining firsthand experience of people's lived experiences of the divine, rather than ruminating on abstract theoretical concepts that might impress some, but I rather listen with all my heart, with all my attention, with an open heart to the story of a 97-year-old woman who remembered the songs, the dances, the children's games, and the funeral ceremonies during slavery times. Her story to me was a theological thesis right there. Her story to me was producing intelligent historical knowledge. She was moving her body. She was dancing. She was 97. She was dancing to honor her ancestors, not to entertain me, to show the world that she was alive and to remember. She was wisdom personified. She was something, someone to sense, to experience, to bear witness to honor, not something to theorize about. I've come to understand wisdom as the mystical experience of tasting life. So armed with the courage to change directions, to choose the less traveled path for academics, to let go of institutional constrictions and internalized models of how to be an academic, I could then embark on an authentic journey. I had to go back to Loíza, Puerto Rico. I had to stop being a tourist and commit to being a part of the procession, to walk the procession, to sweat the procession, to be among the people, to pray with them, to sing with them, to hope with them for a miracle to protect their home. Together, moving my body was a testament to my faith, a promise fulfilled, a communal prayer. So once I let go, I received. I received the gift of friends when I was once a stranger or a curious foreigner with a camera all the time. I put it down. Once I committed to participating in the procession and began going back every year to help with the preparation of the meals, to contribute financially, to attend the prayer circles, to learn from the elders in their own language and in their own terms, leaving behind my old scripts, I received the gift of comunitas, beloved community. I received the gift of belonging where I was once a stranger. I learned that todo se aprende sobre la marcha. We learn everything on the go, on the move, while we are working, while being a part of a movement, while being one with others and the universe. So the title of my dissertation changed from something like, ready? Dichotomies between theoretical, theological discourses and praxis within contested methodological approaches to religious decolonization. It changed to sobre la marcha, on the road. Our beloved Rumi inspires us to reflect on movement, on life as more than a string of sorrows, and to embrace our journeys over and over again. Will you sing with me? Come, come, whoever you are, wanderer, worshiper, lover of leaving, life is no caravan of despair. Come, yet again, come. Come, yet again, come. Do you remember what brought you to this church? Do you remember what journey you were on when you embarked on a pilgrimage that brought you here? What yearnings, what questions, what sorrows, what hopes did you bring or hope to find? While our motives may have been different, we all need to find a place that accepts us for who we are. We need a place where we can embark on the search for meaning, the meaning of life, the mystery of life. We are encouraged to explore while offering us core values to guide us. This is Unitarian Universalism. This is Star King. Becoming a Unitarian Universalist continues to be a spiritual journey, an ongoing one for me. After leaving the Catholic Church, I was unchurched for many years. My son, my kitchen, the streets, the jails where I taught ESL, the AIDS hospices where I served as a legal advocate, my books, nature, and poetry became my churches, my holy places, my sanctuaries where I communed with the divine, where I could bring my whole self, where I could find unconditional love and acceptance. Coming out as a lesbian, as a queer person, as a two-spirit person was a spiritual journey, a journey of the heart. And I yearned for a spiritual community where my son and I would be welcomed and loved unconditionally. And I found it. We found it in a Unitarian Universalist church. Not the first one, the second one. It wasn't perfect by any means, and that's what made it so great. We were always in the process of transformation. We were always becoming our truer selves and learning sobre la marcha, on the move. Likewise, this church community is a space where those yearnings for religious freedom are encouraged. We are encouraged to be our best authentic selves. Look around you. We are atheists, humanists, Christian, Jews, Buddhists, Catholics, and recovering Catholics, pagans, earth-centered indigenous people, not labeled, unchurched. We are sharing core values, our principles. The first one, which is to honor the inherent worth and dignity of every person. In place of dogma, there is curiosity here and an opportunity to explore and learn together in order to build a better world. We are all pilgrims on this journey we call life, and we yearn for a place where we can learn and practice the meaning of spirituality, hospitality, humility, diversity, beloved community, where we can be challenged to be accountable and to build this community with authenticity. We take nothing for granted as we affirm one church, many paths. Our faith tradition is rooted in skepticism and heretical acts that have cost our martyrs their lives for daring to speak the truth. In what other church can believers and non-believers become members? Whether you have grown up having a strong belief in God or have let go of that childhood concept and images of God and today feel more at home and connected to the divine in the mountains, you are welcome here. You can become a member. Our faith gives you a choice, a way to journey with others, to be challenged, and to be supported. To join, not to be entertained, but to offer you a spiritual path with core values that encourage that accountability, that authentic self, that community building. Beloveds, this Sunday, I have placed our membership book here up front so you can see it. So you can remember when you joined, when you signed, because on every pilgrimage, there is a symbol that is given to you to mark the fact that you were there, that you walked, that you committed to that journey, whether it's a scallop seashell or a rock or a twig or a ribbon or a book where you place your name with all your hopes, with all your best intentions to join a community that strives for a better world, for more peace, for more love, for active justice. Do you remember when you signed the book for those of you who are members? Thank you. Your signature, your name is your expression of faith and commitment to this community. It is the tangible evidence, a historical record, that you have found here a place, a spiritual home to bring your whole self. To those of you who have not signed yet, I invite you to come and talk with me about what it means to become a member, to sign the book. Unitarian Universalism needs all of us, and we need one another. Beloveds, may you find here a welcoming place. May your spirit be fed and your whole self be blessed. May you bring your doubts, your questions, aspirations, hope, and your open hearts. We offer you ways to be connected. We offer you ways to grow, ways to give, ways to love and be loved unconditionally. I feel blessed that our paths on our journeys of the heart have crossed and have brought us here to this sanctuary, to this holy place together. Let us continue to journey together and learn sobre la marcha, on the move, breathing together, moving together, praying together, singing together, transforming ourselves and the world in the process. So welcome, 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 friends. You have arrived. You are home. Blessed be. Ashe and Amen.